Is there something wrong?
Warning. Life support failure on all decks. Abandon ship.
Maybe it is time to take command.
Bridge to captain.
Join Jan Shaw, updating current events as only Jan can.
Library computer, data being received.
Produced by CosmicReality.com.
Hello and welcome to this week's Cosmic Creating Show. My name is Jan Shaw, the Success Alchemist. You can find me at thesuccessalchemist.net. On YouTube and Facebook, Jan Shaw, the Success Alchemist, and on Twitter at Coach Jan Shaw. Today is the 21st of September 2024, and the title of today's show is New World Order Falling, Second Assassination Attempt Update, and Humiliation for Kamala. And so today I'm going to start with the Ben Fulford report because this is my reference to New World Order falling, and of course it's satanic New World Order really, and it really goes into everything that's happening all over the world, the indications that they are losing big time. And I think we need to hear this at this point because we know that from what's happening that we see that the deep state is panicking. They're trying anything to try and stop Trump being re-elected, and it's happening in other countries as well with this refusal to follow the net zero scam and also a backlash against this uncontrolled immigration, particularly in the EU. So it is quite a long article, so I may have to quickly cover the other topics. There's quite a lot as usual that is worthy of note. So I'll get on with starting with Ben Fulford. And just a quick reminder that he puts his report out on a Monday. So this is from the 16th. So it's not completely up to date, of course, but it does have some really good information in it. And as always, you know, use your discernment. Some of it you may not completely agree with. You may not agree with any of it, but that's entirely up to you. It's your choice what you take on board and what you don't. So the title of the report is Emergency World Summit Called For After Nuclear Armageddon Almost Happened Last Weekend. The Khazarian Mafia is desperately trying to start an all-out nuclear war and nearly succeeded over the past weekend. This prompted MI6 to send the following warning to the Chinese, the Russians, and the US Space Force. Please refrain from all engagements until such time as we can establish meaningful diplomatic engagement. We have actionable intelligence of fifth columns. Stand down all nuclear capability worldwide. Thank you. This close brush with nuclear war has led to a back-channel call among intelligence agencies to host a summit that will join the Western military intelligence white hats with the BRICS coalition. Together, they will negotiate a replacement of the KM-led rules-based world order. Formal announcements of this are likely in the near future. Many of the KM agents who are trying to start nuclear Armageddon have now exposed themselves through their public comments. Among these were UK Prime Minister Keir Starmer, Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau, US fake Secretary of State Antony Blinken, former Russian President Dmitry Medvedev, and others. For example, Medvedev warned last week a nuclear response is an extremely difficult decision with irreversible consequences, adding that patience comes to an end. Also, Russian ambassador to the US, Anatoly Antonov, on Friday said, Americans can't hide from nuclear war if Biden and Prime Minister Keir Starmer of Britain allow Ukraine to attack Russia with long-range Western weapons. This was in response to comments like one by Trudeau saying he fully supports Ukraine using long-range weaponry against Russia. the regime Cass Trudeau fanatically supports is also trying to carry out atomic terror against the Kursk nuclear power plant, Russian Security Council Secretary Sergei Shoigu warns. The Russians say the people behind this are Nazis. Selective blindness embraces the United States and its satellites when the Kiev junta manifests its Nazi essence. Russia's permanent representative to the UN, Vasily Nebenzia, comments. The fact is, Russia is a Christian nation leading the fight against the Nazi Satanists. In a sign the rabidly anti-Russian Cass Trudeau is a Nazi agent, he is trying to stop the National Archives of Canada from publishing a list of 900 names of Nazi war criminals who fled to the country after World War II. The ongoing Nazi attempt at nuclear war or terror in Ukraine was prompted because the majority of mobilized Ukrainian troops are either leaving their positions, refusing to go into battle, or trying to find a way to leave the army. The Nazis, by the way, are just one of the names used by an ancient satanic cult that has infiltrated the West. MI6 says Prince William is suspected of being the person who ordered the likes of Cass Trudeau to try to provoke nuclear war. That is because if nuclear war does not start, it is only a matter of time before he and his family are publicly outed for staging human sacrifices, including that of Kate Middleton, MI6 and British Royal Family sources say. The ultimate source of the Nazi problem can be traced to the KM's main front organisation, the Satanic Chabad cult. Chabad and the KM have spent hundreds of years infiltrating the top levels of governments around the world in their plan to kill 90% of humanity and enslave the rest. According to them, each Jew, Satanist, will be granted 2,800 slaves from among the survivors once this plan is accomplished. This is something this writer has been warning about for over two decades, after being personally invited to join this plot. What has changed is that now most Jews have finally figured this out and denounced it as satanic heresy. The KM are desperate and are calling on all their top agents to start nuclear war because they are losing their final bases in Israel, the UK, Ukraine and the US. Soon their last stronghold will be Switzerland. It will also be forced to surrender. This will mean inevitable war crimes tribunals and mass executions. In Israel, for example, a general strike has been called against the regime of the no longer publicly visible Benjamin Netanyahu. At the same time, Defense Minister General Yoav Gallant has also denounced Netanyahu's attempts to provoke a war with Egypt. French journalist Thierry Meyssan says the recent general strike in Israel marks the beginning of a realization that Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu is not defending Jews. Gradually, they are beginning to admit that their enemies are not their neighbours, but are among them. These are the KM revisionist Zionists. Meyssan reports two-thirds of Israelis are now opposed to the Satanists and one-third still support them. Israelis are now also figuring out Netanyahu wasn't incompetent, but an accomplice in the October 7th Hamas attack. That is why tens of thousands of Israelis gather regularly in Tel Aviv to demand the resignation of Prime Minister Netanyahu's government and new elections. Meyssan, Henry Makau and others have finally woken up the majority of the Jews to the fact the Holocaust was a mass sacrifice or burnt offering to Satan led by people hiding in their own midst. As evidence, Israel is about to be replaced by the nation of Judea. Next week, for the first time ever, representatives of Palestine, Judea, will be given a seat at the UN General Assembly. This is part of why the KM is getting so desperate. In a sign of just how serious the situation is, a nuclear weapon was used last week inside the United States, according to US Space Force sources. This happened in Los Angeles underneath the Getty Museum complex, the sources say. This was reported on the local news as a 4.7 magnitude earthquake at a depth of nearly 6 miles that struck the Malibu area. The local news also reported a brush fire that happened just above the earthquake. Take a look at the picture of the fire and decide for yourself. And it looks very much like a mushroom cloud. A US Space Force source says a dome was taken out. 6 miles or 10 kilometers is the signal. It just so happens the Getty Villa is located in Malibu. The Getty Museum is in Los Angeles. They are connected by underground tunnels. Nothing to see here, folks. This is all part of a white hat operation to take out the international child slavery, torture and murder operations of the KM. US President and Commander-in-Chief Donald Trump, for example, is now repeatedly talking about the hundreds of thousands of children who disappear each year. To try to wake the public up to this horrific truth, the movie City of Dreams is now playing in theaters in the US. In the latest White Hat victory against the child torturers, last week Malaysian authorities rescued more than 400 children and arrested 171 adults, including ustaz, or Islamic religious teachers, during coordinated raids on 20 premises across 2 states. Malaysian police say the rescued minors were children of members of a banned religious sect who were sent to the facilities shortly after they were born, before being subjected to multiple forms of abuse. This organization is involved in businesses ranging from supermarkets to laundromats and operates in multiple countries, including Indonesia, Singapore, Egypt, Saudi Arabia, France, Australia, and Thailand. Still don't believe they have torture facilities to harvest adrenochrome? Now consider this. Kamala Harris's husband, Douglas Emhoff's immediate family, owns shares in the largest manufacturer of puberty blockers for children, the pharmaceutical company AbbVie. Blocking puberty allows for a longer time window to harvest adrenochrome from tortured children because they stop producing it as soon as they hit puberty. All the transgender BS these people are pushing is just meant as a cover for this. It also turns out Kamala's VP candidate Tim Walz is a liar and a thief. Education Committee Chairwoman Virginia Fox subpoenaed Tim Walz's admin related to the largest COVID-19 fraud scheme in the nation that stole $250 million in taxpayer funds intended to feed children in need. Ben is referring to the debate with Trump when he says, next, watch the moment Kamala admits she will be the Nazi Zelensky's puppet if elected US president. And he's referring to Kamala Harris talking about meeting Zelensky just prior to the start of the Russian invasion. This witch gives off Hillary Clinton vibes. This is the same Kamala who says the American dream is elusive, it's just actually not attainable. The KM tried to fool the Americans into supporting this horror with a rigged debate on ABC. White Hat sources in the agencies say their analysis of the debate showed she was fed answers via microphones disguised as earrings. Now, this is one thing I'm not sure is true, because the photograph of Kamala wearing the earrings is not exactly the same as the earbuds that she's accused of wearing. So I'm not sure if that's true or not. They also detected seam marks indicating whoever played Kamala was wearing a silicone mask. They further claimed Trump was replaced at certain key points with CG to censor his comments. One thing I noticed when I was seeing clips of Kamala's town hall with Oprah was that it looked like she had a really dark stripe under her chin, and there was like a lump on the side of her neck. So I'm still not sure who's playing the role of Kamala, but I don't think it's really her. Also, it turns out Kamala's sorority sister was the debate moderator. Now, an ABC insider is about to spill the beans on this rigged debate, and in fact he did. It was actually released last Sunday. An affidavit from an ABC whistleblower has been released, alleging that Kamala Harris colluded with ABC to rig the presidential debate against Trump. The whistleblower has also agreed to testify before Congress. After this rigged debate, KM-controlled corporate media like CNN all said Kamala won it. However, when ABC published the closing remarks of each candidate on their TikTok, Trump got 23 million views and 1.6 million likes, while Kamala got only 4.3 million views and 217,000 likes. Harris, meanwhile, gave her first interview since last week's debate last Friday. Despite several softball questions, Harris had absolutely no answer when reporter Brian Taft asked her about one or two specific things and instead spit word salad all over the place. I guess her earrings malfunctioned. Next, compare Biden and Kamala's entrance into Shanksville Fire Hall versus Trump's entrance into the Fire Hall. Biden, Harris, you can hear the crickets. Trump, loud cheers. Kamala also made a big mistake going after Trump's rallies. Trump supporters always show up big for Trump. No wonder Trump has an almost 50-point lead over VP Harris, that's 74.3% to 24.8%, in an Electoral College win probability poll, according to RCP and Silver Bulletin. So the KM is going to once again try to blatantly steal the election. That is why the Nazi Department of Homeland Security has designated the 2025 counting and certification of electoral votes in Washington, D.C. on January 6, 2025, a, quote, national special security event, end quote, for the first time. The deep state is already preparing the sheeple for what's to come. Massive manipulation in the election results, just like in 2020. It will be from the mail-in ballots again. The spin is always about protecting democracy. The New York Times confirms that there won't be an immediate winner on election night, and early results could misleadingly suggest a Trump victory. Also, as Robert Kennedy Jr. points out, 37 hours after Biden took the oath into office, he opened up a portal for the FBI, CIA, DHS to censor Americans online. So they will once again try to censor the internet to prevent the truth about stolen elections from coming out. The KM is also planning to use their hired goons to cause mayhem throughout the US to use as a cover for mass arrests of innocent civilians and patriots, agency White Hat sources warn. In what was probably a rehearsal, the Washington DC Metropolitan Police Department, MPD, released a statement that said overnight groups of individuals decided to destroy property and burglarize businesses throughout our city. Despite these plans, the KM is not going to be allowed to stay in power in the US or anywhere else, Pentagon and other sources say. The fact the US government is yet again facing a shutdown after September 30th due to a lack of funds is evidence of this. This time, the Chinese promise not to fork over any more money to keep the charade going. What we are hearing is that instead of letting the KM kick the US corporation bankruptcy can down the road yet again, Donald Trump will become the first president of the United States of North America, including Mexico and Canada, Asian secret society sources say. As evidence of this, Canada, Mexico and the US are all heading for regime change this autumn. In Canada, Castrudeau is expected to lose a vote of confidence and be booted out of office and into jail as early as this week. In Mexico, a battle is raging between KM proxies and Mexican nationalists. As evidence, an attempt is being made to stop the cartels from laundering their drug money at North American retail outlets. A Brooks, Alberta Walmart posted a sign saying, "No more US cash accepted," starting September 23, 2024. This is connected to an undeclared civil war raging in Mexico. gunmen from the gang led by 76-year-old Ismael El Mayo Zambada are battling the Chapitos faction, led by two sons of imprisoned drug boss Joaquin El Chapo Guzman. The war started after one of the Guzman sons lured Zambada into a trap that got him arrested in the U.S. The Chapitos have hired a lot of goons with money from the KM, but have no real power or respect in Mexico, Mexican cartel sources say. The cartel sources also tell us the fentanyl arriving in the U.S. comes from BlackRock, Larry Fink, and the KM. They say these deadly chemicals are hurting their own, quote, organic heroin business. The war against U.S. stooges in Mexico is expected to intensify, they say. Something similar is happening in other parts of Latin America. In a sign a major anti-KM operation is imminent, Ecuador will implement a nationwide blackout for maintenance in the country's electricity system overnight on Wednesday from 10 p.m. local time to Thursday at 6 a.m., the government said in a statement on Sunday. Also in Venezuela, the Argentine embassy is under siege, and it is only a matter of time before KM stooge Javier Milei is ousted from Argentina itself, Argentine patriots promise. Europe has also cut its ties with the KM. In a sign, the recent evacuation of the Dutch royals to Patagonia has led to a change in policy. The Netherlands is declaring a state of emergency due to an illegal migrant crisis and will ask to opt out from EU migration policy. For the first time in EU history, Germany has also decided to stop uncontrolled immigration. Other EU countries will follow. This means the Schengen area encompassing 29 European countries that have officially abolished border controls at their mutual borders will have to follow. The collateral damage will be huge. Austria already said it will not take in any immigrants rejected by Germany, so Austria will almost surely do the same and close its border. Nobody to the east and southeast of Germany has the physical capacity and political willingness to absorb immigrants. The Czech Republic, Slovakia, Hungary, Slovenia, and Croatia will all do the same. We assume that Switzerland, not a member of the EU but a member of Schengen, will follow. In another sign of a European break with the KM, Polish representatives told KM agent Antony Blinken to leave immediately, stating, "We don't want you here. We don't want the Polish people paying or dying for your wars." This comes after thousands of elite Polish soldiers were killed in the KM-organized attempt to seize the Kursk nuclear power plant for terror purposes. NATO invested billions of dollars in the Kursk strike force, and now it's gone, says Scott Ritter. Polish intelligence also outed people calling opposition to President Putin as being, in reality, representatives of the most dangerous criminal group in the world, which deals in arms trafficking. They sent us this photo of Semen Mogilevich, Mikhail Khodorkovsky, and Boris Berezovsky, the Red Mafia mistakenly called the Russian Mafia. There is not a single ethnic Russian in this criminal group, they say. Semen Mogilevich left for Israel in the late 1980s, but quickly had to leave after selling Israeli weapons to Iran, they add. Then in the US, he decided to subordinate the local criminal groups to himself. He is such a dangerous man that the Americans did not decide to arrest or kill him. However, he was ordered to leave the US, and to this day he is persona non grata there. He is banned from entering Israel and the US. Mogilevich currently lives in Hungary and has a weapons factory there. In more real-world spy drama, the FSB published footage from operational surveillance of contacts between British embassy employees whose jobs were recently terminated and foreign agents in Russia. In other spy news, last week, BRICS intelligence chiefs gathered and decided to fight the financing of terrorism and money laundering. This means the US, Israel, and Switzerland, the chief sponsors of terrorism, are being cut off from funding unless they shut down their front organizations like Hamas. The BRICS are in a position to do this because they're about to seize control of the world's financial system. The petro-yuan, shorthand for using the Chinese currency in cross-border crude oil settlements, is giving access to immediate low-cost cross-border currency transactions. This is letting China challenge the ubiquitous US dollar in global commodities markets. It will also end the dominance of SWIFT, which Russia was banned from in February 2022. So far, BRICS has confirmed 159 participants are set to adopt the new payment system. This has prompted the US military to initiate high-level contacts with China. As mentioned at the top of the story, the aim is to join US military and agency white hats with the BRICS to defeat the KM's rules-based world order. In one example, Admiral Samuel Paparo, commander of US Indo-Pacific Command, spoke with General Wu Yanan, the commander of China's Southern Theater, which is responsible for Beijing's vast claims over the South China Sea. The call was the first time in years that the two regional military commanders have engaged in a formal conversation. In another, Chinese troops will take part for the first time in Brazil's annual military exercises this week that also include US forces, the Brazilian Navy said on Tuesday. In yet another, Lieutenant General Hei Li showed Michael Chase, US Deputy Assistant Secretary of Defense, a badge of the Academy of Military Sciences of the PLA, in which there are images of the Great Wall and an olive branch when they met at a military conference in Beijing last week. The Great Wall represents defense, implying that China pursues a national defense policy that is defensive in nature and will not invade any country, he said. The olive branch represents peace, which he knows well. The Chinese and the US military white hats know they can either destroy each other or prosper together. The US has demonstrated its control over weather warfare and other advanced technologies repeatedly to the Chinese. In a sign the Chinese military has a few cards of its own to play, last week a new world record was set in Shenzhen when an 8,100 drone formation lifted off to show a stunning performance. This isn't just a light show, it's a demonstration of futuristic military power. You are looking at an unarmed drone swarm, a Pentagon source comments. Another reason the US military white hats want to reach a deal with the BRICS is they know their Elon Musk money laundry cannot last forever. Now, this is interesting about Musk. A senior CIA source says Elon Musk plays both sides. They are using Fed funny money to force electrical vehicles on everyone. His Tesla EV was doomed from the beginning. All of his companies are linked to the Pentagon. They are laundry facilities. The Tesla EV and all EVs will be obsolete in 3 to 5 years, unless they switch over to hydrogen. Thailand has begun production with hydrogen-powered vehicles, and Japan is doing the same. This is the future for the automobile industry. Now, it's interesting because there are theories that Musk is actually working with the White Hats through his SpaceX projects, and I believe he's the biggest contractor to the Pentagon. And of course, it's very close with Trump and is very vocal about his support for Trump in this election. So I'm not so sure if that's true or not. Just as I say, use your discernment. As evidence, this EV charade is ending. In Colorado, some 2025 Nissan Leaf leases were offered for as low as $20 a month in July, thanks to EV tax credits and state incentives. Gasoline-powered cars aren't going anywhere either. billionaire businessman John Katsimatidis, chairman and CEO of United Refining Company, admits on April 4th, 2022 interview that oil is infinite and produced by the earth and does not come from dead dinosaurs, as we were led to believe. In other words, more confirmation that this net zero carbon tax money grab is an absolute scam. We were also sent a link showing Musk is or was a WEF agent, and it's a Rumble video. Elon Musk caught plotting with WEF to eradicate sovereignty. We were also told, by the way, that for security reasons, Musk uses at least two body doubles. These are some of the reasons we say Musk is neither a white hat nor a dark hat, but rather a grey hat. At least he is not a mass murderer like Bill Gates. Bill Gates, a psychopath, openly discusses self-assembling nanotechnology in mRNA. No wonder the US Senate says it will block any attempts by other branches of the US government to ratify Gates's WHO front organization's global power grab pandemic treaty. Fortunately, people have woken up to his vaccine lies. In the most recent evidence of this, Moderna's second quarter revenue fell 43% from a year earlier to $241 million. A 43% due mainly to decreased sales of the company's COVID-19 vaccine. And he ends the report with a feel-good item. To show we still have compassionate people in this world, a dog was running after the ambulance that was taking his human. When the EMS realised it, he was let in. So, jolly good for the dog and for the EMS people. So on to the updates about the second assassination attempt against Trump. And the Vigilant Fox reports shocking new details emerged surrounding the second Trump assassination attempt. The whole situation just got even more suspicious. Whistleblowers tell Senator Josh Hawley that it's not even clear Secret Service swept the perimeter before Trump took to the golf course. That's a massive and inexcusable failure. But that's just the beginning of the problems that unfolded. Whistleblowers also revealed that agents were not stationed in known vulnerable spots along the course, which is standard protocol. These vulnerabilities had been secured many times in the past, making the absence of agents highly suspicious. Whistleblowers described this oversight as strange and out of protocol. That explains why Ruth was able to hide in a bush for 12 hours, and Trump would be likely dead if it weren't for the one hero agent who noticed Ruth's rifle sticking out from the bush. This is a failure on a massive scale, and the American people deserve answers. Vigilant Fox also reports something stinks about Trump's would-be assassin, and Jesse Waters can smell it. The deeper you dive into Ryan Ruth's past, the more suspicious it gets. On Thursday evening, Jesse Waters raised some serious questions about the would-be assassin in the latest attempt on Trump's life. The deeper you dive into Ryan Ruth's past, the more suspicious it gets. And when you piece it all together, none of it makes sense. Take a moment to consider Ruth's circumstances. How was Ryan Ruth, a man with no money for child support, able to suddenly start living in a pricey house in Hawaii and afford flights to Taiwan, Turkey, Poland, and Ukraine? Why has Ruth never served a day in jail when he has 100 different counts to his name? Why was Ruth's fiancé, who just lost her job at Victoria's Secret, okay with him flying to Ukraine for months at a time? How was he able to feed himself in Ukraine when he only has $68 in his bank account? And everywhere he goes, he gets pressed from the local papers to the New York Times to Newsweek. The whole thing stinks, and it suggests that someone other than his fiancée was supporting him. Greg Reese on Substack has a report, Lone Gunman and Telltale Signs of an MK Ultra Assassin, Second Failed Trump Assassination by Mind Controlled Drone. From what we learn about the recent would-be Trump assassin, he seems to have clearly been an asset of the deep state. He's been criminally charged over 100 times, including once for possessing an unregistered, fully automatic firearm. He was recruiting mercenaries to fight in Ukraine and was on the mainstream news to discuss this. He appeared in a video promoting the Azov Brigade. And despite all this, he was somehow able to get a rifle across state lines and within shooting distance to Donald Trump just 2 months after a failed assassination attempt. As Edward Snowden pointed out, there is an Oswald vibe here. And he's right, almost every assassination conspiracy in history has the same telltale signs. And Gateway Pundit reports, cover-up. DeSantis says FBI won't cooperate with state's investigation into second assassination attempt on President Trump. Florida Governor Ron DeSantis has accused the FBI of blocking a state investigation into the second assassination attempt on former President Donald Trump. In a press conference on Tuesday, DeSantis announced that Florida would conduct its own investigation, asserting that federal agencies cannot be trusted to investigate threats against Trump due to their ongoing efforts to prosecute him. According to DeSantis, these agencies have no place leading an investigation where the most serious violations fall under state law, not federal law. Today I'm signing an executive order assigning the case involving the attempted assassination of former President Donald Trump to the Office of Statewide Prosecutor under the supervision of Attorney General Ashley Moody. The suspect, Ryan Ruth, is believed to have committed state law violations across multiple judicial circuits in the state. Palm Beach Judicial Circuit, the Judicial Circuit, including Martin County, as well as perhaps the Judicial Circuit represented by Broward County. Also, the state of Florida has jurisdiction over the most serious straightforward offense, which is attempted murder. I've directed state agencies to move expeditiously and to provide full transparency to the public. Appearing on Fox News' The Ingram Angle, DeSantis doubled down on his accusations, revealing that state investigators were being rebuffed even when attempting to access the crime scene. DeSantis believed that the FBI don't want the state of Florida to have any involvement in the investigation. Ingram: Governor, I want to turn to another topic because we were relieved to hear that you are doing your own independent investigation in Florida concerning the second assassination attempt on President Trump. My question to you tonight is, are the feds being cooperative with your investigation? Are you concerned that you're not getting the information you need? DeSantis: The answer is no, they're not being cooperative. Yes, I am concerned. For example, our investigators were rebuffed just going to the fence line outside of Trump International Golf Club in West Palm Beach. I think they've taken the position that they don't want the state of Florida to be involved in this. But here's the thing. There were multiple violations of Florida law across multiple jurisdictions. We think at least three judicial circuits. This guy, Ryan Ruth, committed potential violations of Florida law. We have a duty to investigate this. We have a duty to bring the appropriate charges, and we also have a duty to inform the public about how this happened. I don't anticipate their cooperation. I think they've just taken that position. I think that's unfortunate because even though I've been very clear, the state of Florida is going to do an investigation. I've not disputed their right to also investigate. It's a federal government matter. He was in their protective custody as a presidential candidate. But let us do this. Hopefully that tune will change. But I can tell you right now, Laura, we have not gotten a lot of receptive response. When asked by Laura Ingram about the FBI's swift dismissal of the attacker's motives as a lone wolf scenario, DeSantis said that the public doesn't trust these immediate conclusions from the feds, and rightly so. He said they need to preserve all evidence. Ingram, echoing the concerns of many Americans, asked why the FBI was so quick to shut down lines of inquiry in both this and the previous assassination attempt. Ingram, very disturbing. By the way, we have Ruth's mugshot where he looks to be slightly smirking. He's a very strange individual, to say the least. But we've heard other FBI agents, former agents, say they think it's quite odd that in the first assassination attempt and the second assassination attempt, there's almost an immediate response from the Fed saying, oh, looks like he acted alone, or we really don't know what the motives are here. Does that strike you as slightly strange, to say the least? DeSantis, yeah, I don't think the public has confidence when that is being done. As soon as we got word of this on Sunday, I told our guys in state law enforcement, save all his social media because you know Facebook will delete it. The tech companies want to delete it. Get his digital trail. Store that because we need to know how he ended up in Florida to begin with. What is the pathway this guy has taken to end up in those bushes trying to assassinate the former President of the United States and current Republican nominee? How did that happen? We have not gotten answers about Butler. We haven't got answers about things like the Las Vegas shooting from many years ago. So part of the investigation that our folks are doing is they're going to provide evidence they find of motive, evidence of his associations, and evidence of his beliefs. I think it's very important that the public get the real story on that. Ingram, yeah, well, the FBI has shredded its own credibility. Our governor, thank goodness you're doing an investigation. I was so happy to hear that. So it's looking more and more like an inside job, very much like the Butler attempt. Well, we shall see what DeSantis digs up. The other hot news about these assassination attempts is Representative Matt Gaetz reveals senior DHS official confirmed 5 assassination teams are in the country trying to eliminate Trump, and security was not beefed up. And DC Drano on X summarizes it. 1. DHS knows of 5 separate assassination teams, 3 foreign and 2 domestic, who are actively targeting Trump and informed Secret Service well before July 13th. 2. Knowing this intel, Secret Service still took protection away from Trump and gave it to others with very low target risks. One of whom, of course, was Jill Biden, who was appearing in Butler, Pennsylvania at the same time as Trump. This is why Kimberly Cheetle was forced out. She knew they were trying to kill Trump. She pulled resources away and she allowed them to take their shots. Insane corruption. So on to humiliation for Harris. And this is from Sasha Stone on Substack. Kamala Harris's pitch to undecided voters. Just be. The queen of gobbledygook just dropped a doozy. Oprah Winfrey had a town hall style interview with Kamala Harris. All of the ruling class were in attendance. Julia Roberts, Meryl Streep, Ben Stiller, Chris Rock, Tracy Ellis Ross, most of whom are afflicted with existential angst as opposed to, you know, practical problems of daily life. I'm sure an event with Meryl Streep and Julia Roberts was a great way to win over undecided voters. They're probably out there thinking, I can't put food on the table and I can't send my kid to school without worrying about them coming home and asking for puberty blockers and what is going on in Springfield. Are we on the brink of World War III? Ah, but the celebrities will help. They will guide me. Yes, I'll vote for Harris. Hollywood doesn't seem to have gotten the message that almost no one cares what they think. I go so far as to say that the majority of Americans can't stand Hollywood anymore, especially celebrities preaching to them about what to think and how to vote. There is something grotesque and unseemly about doubling down on the problem that plagues the Democrats, elitism. Maybe that works in good times. In bad times, all it does is highlight the disconnect between the very rich and the struggling working class. but it might have been an opportunity for Harris to knock it out of the park, to deliver a strong argument to Americans beyond Trump is bad. She bragged about how she'd shoot anyone who broke into her home. News to those of us who have heard nothing but lectures about people like Julia Roberts and Merrill about the gun problem in America. At the same time, NRA circulated a video of Harris talking about going into locked homes to make sure Americans were in compliance. Harris did what was required of her, spout her usual scripted answers, but then came the closer, and boy, did Harris blow it. Oprah handed her what should have been a slow ball down the middle that set her up for a grand slam. What is on your heart to say to the American people? Oprah said. We have 47 days until November 5th. What's on your heart? To say particularly to those people who are still undecided or maybe indifferent or on the fence still. Harris wound up and gave her best answer. She swirled around and floated somewhere above the clouds. She obviously had no idea what to say or where one sentence ended and another began. Perhaps she anticipated thunderous applause instead of dead silence. Her base has always been women and the LGBTQIA community. She knows how to speak to them, the language of the woke, and how to uplift the oppressed. But how to talk to the rest of America, she has no clue. Here we watch the manufactured Kamala Harris begin to falter. She wasn't triggered. It wasn't a hard question, yet she had no answer. Oprah sat there visibly uncomfortable. Harris sounded like that person who drank too much wine or maybe smoked a joint and is spouting a platitude. At one point, Oprah's head swiveled to the crowd because if there was one thing she knew, it was how to read a crowd. She had a pained look on her face. So I'm not going to insult you by reading the whole pitch. I'm just going to jump to the punchline. So there you have it. The best pitch for the forever regime asking for your vote. Vote to just be. Incidentally, one of the things that was really noticeable is that Oprah Winfrey looked unwrinkled, ridiculously younger than her actual age. And people have been speculating between she's got a body double, she's no longer with us because, of course, we know she's been associated with all the sex traffickers, or she's on adrenochrome, which, of course, is this eternal youth drug from horrific sources. And I won't go into that now, but definitely didn't look like the Oprah we've seen before. Something else amusing, this was Gateway Pundit. Hilarious, Oprah says a black man stopped her at airport and told her he's voting for Trump. I bet that went down well. And then there's the Georgia rally that Kamala held. And Laura Loomer posts on X, Kamala Harris downgrades venue for her Georgia event today twice due to low attendance. Kamala is having some type of event at the Cobb Energy Performing Arts Center in Atlanta, Georgia today. I know someone who is doing the setup for the event, and they have told me that the Kamala Harris campaign has now downgraded the space for the event twice, from the stadium to the auditorium and now to the ballroom, because Kamala Harris's campaign can't get enough people to attend her event in Georgia 6 weeks out from the general election. The ballroom has a max capacity of 650 people. I have asked the source who is a part of setting the venue up to send photos. They tell me that Kamala's campaign has been very disrespectful to the staff at the Cobb Energy Performing Arts Center in Atlanta, Georgia, and they have been screaming demands at the union members who are setting up the venue. My source is a union member who regrets that the IATSA union in Georgia has endorsed Kamala Harris. They tell me union members inside have been verbally abused throughout the entire setup process for the Kamala Harris event. Meanwhile, of course, Trump appeared on Gutfeld And apparently the ratings went through the roof. And I saw a little bit of what he was talking about. But, you know, he really put across his genuine self with a great deal of humour. It was great to watch the bit that I saw. Also, in Pennsylvania, Republicans continue to gain ground in mail-in ballot requests. So the Democrats, I believe, are still ahead, but the gap has narrowed compared with 2020. So that's a good sign. And more good news is that early voting is underway in Virginia. Trump supporters dominate polling location in Fairfax County. This again was Gateway Pundit. Early voting in Virginia was underway on Friday morning. There was huge enthusiasm for President Trump in Fairfax, Virginia on Friday. Trump supporters dominated the polling location in Fairfax County. President Trump lost Virginia by 5 points in 2016 against Hillary Clinton and lost the Commonwealth again in 2020 against Biden. However, the Trump campaign says Virginia is in play this election, called the Commonwealth a swing state. Trump supporters waved flags outside of the Fairfax County Government Center as people lined up to vote in the 2024 general election. The line of voters stretched from the door to the parking lot, according to WTOP. Before I finish, I just want to make a quick mention about the arrest of P. Diddy and also the fact that he's been refused bail. And he's actually been put in the same detention centre as the January 6th political prisoners, which he's not happy about at all. And the latest, according to Gateway Pundit, is that Sean Diddy Combs has been placed on suicide watch. So interesting that people are drawing parallels between him and Epstein. His main charge is sex trafficking, although there are other charges as well. But it's predicted that this is going to have massive consequences for the elites in the music industry and in Hollywood, and there could be massive exposures of these people because, just like Epstein, he had multiple cameras in his residences, which of course were searched by the FBI. And a neighbour of one of his houses said that he had witnessed busloads of very young children being bussed in at 3 a.m. for these parties that he held, which I think are termed freak-offs, which is a weird term. I'm not even sure I've got that right, but I've never heard of it, certainly. So there could be some massive news, either that or he'll end up being suicided again, just like Epstein. Although there are people who don't believe he's dead, and I must admit, when we saw him on the gurney after his supposed suicide, there were many discrepancies between his features and the body on the gurney. So maybe Diddy will be whisked away somewhere as well. We'll have to wait and see, but I suspect it'll be a big story. How much the mainstream media will cover it, of course, is another question. Meanwhile, in the UK, two-tier Kia is now a household name because of Starmer's glaring hypocrisy. Of course, we're referring to Keir Starmer, the current Prime Minister. And this is not only because of his removal of the winter fuel allowance for pensioners, but it's also turned out he's been taking gifts from a millionaire and failed to disclose them. Matt Goodwin on his Substack is calling him out for this, saying that, you know, he's depriving pensioners of winter fuel allowances of £200 to £300, which are paid in November and December. And also he's threatening to remove the single occupant council tax rebate of 25%. And he's been sending millions, if not billions, of pounds to Africa for climate change net zero scam, and to Ukraine $3 billion, and meanwhile, you know, is depriving people of what little help they can get from the government. And the latest, of course, is that two-tier Keir, as much of the country is now calling him, while he was making these decisions, he was also taking more freebies, payments and gifts than any other member of parliament in the House of Commons. This was the guy the elite class told us to back, the man who would return us to moderate, sensible, grown-up and responsible politics. But now here in all its glory is what we've learned about the Right Honourable Keir Starmer in just the last few days. This is after he accused the Conservatives of sleaze and cronyism. Since 2019, Keir Starmer has taken more freebies in holidays, gifts and entertainment than any other MP in Parliament. Starmer has received 2.5 times more freebies than the next Member of Parliament. He's taken 40 sets of tickets to sporting and pop concerts, including dozens of free tickets to football games and an elite box at stadiums that is usually reserved for the celebrity and elite class and costs £8,750 per game. And his feeble excuse was that he had to go in a box for security reasons. Otherwise, if he sat in the stands, he'd have to have security personnel, which would cost the taxpayer money. And yet his predecessor, Rishi Sunak, was seen in multiple photographs actually watching football matches in the stands. So, you know, he's lies and more lies. And the really creepy thing is that he and his wife have been bought clothes by this Lord Ali. I'm not really familiar with him, but he's a Muslim in the House of Lords who actually has security pass to 10 Downing Street, which makes you wonder what's Starmer giving him in return. So as you can imagine, his ratings are literally in the toilet. The earth scandal that's broken in this last few days is that the late billionaire Mohammed Al-Fayed, who owned Harrods, who died, I think, last year, has been accused of horrific Epstein-like web of abuse, committing sexual assault to employees of Harrods. And this was raised when Keir Starmer was the Director of Public Prosecutions. And apparently it was raised back when he was in that position, and there were no charges brought against Al-Fayed, just like he was there when Jimmy Savile's crimes were exposed and they ended up only coming out after his death. So more scandal, which means that I have to say Keir Starmer is the most hated Prime Minister and is definitely united the British people against him and his government. So that's all I have time for this week. I hope you've enjoyed the show. Thank you for listening, and I hope you'll join me for another Cosmic Creating show next week. Thank you to Nancy for producing and to Derek Condit for sponsoring Cosmic Reality Radio. You can find him at mysticalwares.com. And also, if you're struggling with manifestation and you'd like to know what the problem is, what is blocking you from success, please go along to my website and take the manifestation assessment, because it really gets to the bottom of what in your unconscious mind is blocking your ability to manifest the things that you want. So if you're interested in that, please go to thesuccessalchemist.net. You'll find the manifestation assessment link in the menu. So I hope to have you with me again next week. And until next time, stay well, be safe, and bye for now.
You have been listening to Cosmic Creating with Jan Shaw, updating current reality, a production of CosmicReality.com.